Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast. I'm Brian Dunn.
I'm Robert Hookman Jr.
And we are here to talk about the success of Spillers number 4.
Which we've just wrapped up here.
Just wrapped.
At Crescent Ballroom.
Yep, we did.
Just a few minutes ago. One of our Spillers number 2. Spiller number 2 this evening was Mr. Michael Holliday.
Yeah, Michael Holliday. Thank you very much for being a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me here. It's such an honor to be invited and to also read with two of my amazing mentors here, too. So,
yeah, so you're referring to Matt Bell and Tara Eisen.
Yeah, Matt Bell and Tara. Yeah. So, it's been such an honor. To be invited here. Such an exciting series. Thank you all so much for the work that you do, organizing this amazing series. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice of you to say. I mean, we're happy to do it. We just, we love how the event has grown and been embraced, and we really enjoy, hearing writers that we wouldn't otherwise hear and giving them a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the experience of putting together Spillers events so far has continually surprised us. Every single time we come across a great writer, we're Phoenix is just flooding with them. It turns out there's just a whole line of fantastic writers, and we keep getting lucky enough to stumble across them. Matt Bell, in fact, actually referred us to you.
Yeah, he did. He spoke very highly of you.
Tell us about your relationship with Matt. You know Matt pretty well.
Yeah.
So what's Matt really like?
Let's
let's make this all about that.
I don't know if I know him quite that well yet.
Okay.
But Matt has been an amazing mentor to me, absolutely. I've been working with him for the past 2 years. He came into to ASU's MFA program. In my second year, and he came in at just the right time, when I think I was really ready to sort of experiment and play with language a lot.
And
Matt really introduced me to so many amazing writers that I've been really influenced by, Matt, he's so generous. He's so giving, especially in the workshop setting.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's very cool. When you stumble across somebody like that who really helps you grow and really, improves what you're doing as an artist, that's just such a huge thing.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely sort of, I think, finds what you do well. And, he sort of helps you kind of identify that, right? What you uniquely do and sort of helps kind of bring that out,
That's a great trait for a teacher right there.
Right.
So before we forget, let's tell everybody the title of Michael's story. It was Mother of Pearl. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this and you were not fortunate enough to be in the audience tonight, you can listen to it. It is episode 22 of the podcast. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to get that out there.
So you actually had to, when we first got your bio, it said that you were an MFA candidate at ASU.
Not anymore.
ASU's creative writing program. And by the time we got here tonight, it turns out that was no longer true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things happen fast.
Yeah. Things happen very fast. And
was that the world's quickest thesis or was it?
No. I think when I sent you all my work, I think I was still thinking in those terms. I was still an MFA candidate. I'm kind of making the transition,
How's that transition going?
Out of the MFA.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite feel real yet because, my last class was just last week, right? And I teach at ASU too, and I'm still working to get, final grades in. And so it doesn't quite feel real yet. I think it'll hit more maybe next week. It's been, the ASU's program has been everything I've wanted out of an MFA, I would say,
That's fantastic.
I have nothing but, great things to say about it. It's been a great experience, definitely.
And so you left Louisville, Kentucky, where you had lived for a long time, right, to come out to ASU. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you made the big leap.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, because Hunter S. Thompson, who is one of my favorite writers, he's from Louisville. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you by chance?
I think we managed to work a mention of him.
At
least 60% of our podcast.
Guilty as charged. Yeah. So are you a fan? Have you read his stuff?
Hunter S. Thompson? Yeah. I read his stuff a couple of years. Well, no. I, not, a couple, not, not, not
I
a
love cu- the admission.
Not,
starts out,
not,
yes.
No.
And then,
well, not a couple of years.
You don't
I
have
think,
to be nice.
I think I read his stuff. I think when I was maybe 20 or 21 or so. Mm-hmm. I liked his work. I liked his work. You know, I haven't really returned to his work since then, though, too much, you know?
Yeah. That seems to be kind of the age range in which people gravitate to Hunter.
I was 21 when I read Fear and Loathing.
Sure.
I guess I was kind of slow to catch the
Well,
Hunter Thompson, because I'm still reading.
It's right after Robert Persig.
I would love to maybe go back and, you know, reread some of his stuff, honestly, you know?
You're just the nicest person. Do you have a bad thing to say about anybody, Michael?
I don't think so.
The Kentuckian congeniality.
It's
Southern hospitality.
It's Kentucky, definitely.
I've met literally two Kentuckians in the past year, and both of them have just been the most like nice and pleasant. it's like it runs in the water in Kentucky. It's just so interesting.
Must do that.
It can be the culture, I guess, you know. But it's been interesting because you know, coming from Kentucky, you know, I'd never really lived anywhere except for Kentucky when I came here 3 years ago, when I was 26, and I had been working this office job, you know.
Yeah,
and
tell us about that office job. Yeah, what is it you were doing for those years?
So, yeah, you know, I took a break between my undergrad and coming to the MFA. I was working at, it was a small educational publishing company, you know, it was very administrative. It was, a typical kind of 8-to-5 office job, you know, and I was never writing. I was not writing, and I hated that I wasn't writing. The last thing you want to do when you're sitting in front of a computer screen for like 8 to 10 hours a day is come back home and be inspired and sit in front of a computer screen and try to be inspired. Right.
Right. Look at another screen.
Look at another screen. And
I know this feeling well.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, so I applied to programs, and that's how, you know, I was, you know, I thought, what the hell, you know, I'll apply to programs. I'll see what happens. And, you know, and ASU has worked out. But it's been interesting because, you know, Kentucky plays a really important role in my writing a lot. You know, I'm really interested in how region affects character. And so, you know, Kentucky comes out a lot in my work. And it's been interesting because I think that I've had to, I know other writers have said this, and it might be kind of a cliche. I don't know if it is or not. But
we'll tell you if it is.
Yeah, tell me if it is. But, okay. You know, I feel like I've had to leave Kentucky in order to write about it, actually, you know.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I think I've needed that distance. I don't know. It gives you sort of a certain clarity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know if, you know, if I was in Kentucky, I don't know if I would write about Kentucky, you know. I think it's needed. I've needed to kind of leave it.
Right.
For it to kind of come out in my work, you know. And when I sit down to work, I'm never thinking, oh, you know, I'm gonna write Kentucky, you know. or, you know,
put your Kentuckian hat on.
Yeah, put my exactly. You know, it's something that's kind of come out, I guess, because you know, I guess because it's a part of my background, so I guess it's just kind of come out, you know, especially having left it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And missing it in some ways too.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And you know, it's interesting because, you know, doing the MFA, I never really thought of Phoenix and the desert as my home, but I've been thinking about, well, what is home? And is Kentucky home? And if Kentucky is home, that's really fraught too, right?
Is
you
it?
Know? Yeah.
What's it fraught
yeah,
with?
You know, when I think about writing Kentucky, you know, it's a lot. In terms of the region and, you know, in terms of, you know, like tradition, quote unquote tradition and what that even means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of like, you know, like masculinity and femininity and these kinds of like traditional gender roles.
And those were themes in your short story tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, definitely, you know, a lot of my work tends to be you know, from a queer perspective also, and a lot of my writers tend to be queer, and Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, I write a lot about sort of being queer in that space, in that region, you know, and how fraught that can be.
Sure.
And the definition of home and what home even means and, you know, all of that kind of
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe home is the place you have to leave in order to write in about order, it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That was profound.
Yes. Yeah.
That was my contribution.
Nice job, Robert. Nice job indeed.
Rumor has it you have an overall quality rating of, 4.7 out of 5 on ratemyprofessors.com.
Oh my God.
Did you know that?
Wow. Did you know that?
I think I looked at it, maybe a year and a half ago or so, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Was it that high then, or have you just like really kicked it in?
I don't remember. I'm going to have to go look at it now. When I was here, you know, doing the teacher training before I came into ASU, a teacher, you know, one of my teachers said, never look at Rate My Professor. It might just piss you off. So
apparently you shouldn't be concerned.
So I guess I shouldn't be, you know. I've enjoyed teaching here a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that shows, because I think even more impressive, 5 out of the 7 ratings that people left said that you really care about your students.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's a very cool. Okay, yeah. I was gonna say that's a very cool thing, but you're like,
No, okay.
It's funny because it's not true.
He hates his students.
Actually, huh? That's interesting.
Who said that?
Because I actually I don't care about students at all. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it's surprising to me. It's flattering.
It's a very nice thing to have, you know, said about you.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah.
Does your car need an oil change right now?
Yeah. It does.
What an odd question.
But it's a valid question. What is it with you and
apparently this is a factoid that came up in research.
Yeah, and staving off necessary oil changes. You know, they say every 3,000 miles, Michael.
I know. I thought it was 5,000. I guess it's 3,000.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
No. Is this literally in your bio that you don't change your oil often enough?
Maybe I need to put it in there.
It's pretty interesting.
I think it was a Facebook post, actually.
Yeah.
I think
that's where we found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is there something with that, or do you just not like to do car maintenance?
I don't like to do car maintenance. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I can go ahead and say that. I definitely know.
That's a good explanation.
Yeah. And usually when, you know, I put it off and I wait a long time. And then when I go to take it there, they like reprimand me for like, they're like, there's no oil in here. What were you doing? And, you know,
I get chastised at the Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
I hear this at the tire shop, actually.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah. They're like, you know what? It's good that you refill your tires, because 99% of people who come in here, they come in here at, like, they've never checked their tires.
Ah.
It's like, so they're down to like 10 pounds of pressure in their tires.
Oh my goodness.
They're like, we don't know how you drove here.
Right.
I'm betting this happens a lot in the mechanical industry.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what. We really loved your story tonight. I think the audience did as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking part in Spillers number 4 and for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, Michael.
Yeah, and congratulations again on graduating.
Thank you.
Good luck finding work.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the next step.
That is the next step. Yeah. Do you think you're going to stay here and...
Maybe, potentially.
If you can, potentially.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, awesome. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Ooh.